Hello and welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. And oh my gosh, you are going to love this one because I am here today with the incredible Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford. Dina Nina, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
This is a long time coming. We first started talking about this a couple months ago. You are in Madison.
Yes.
You are, we're going to get into this. You're on the Common Council in Madison, and you're running for State Assembly in one of the most fun seats in the heart of Madison, one of the most blue seats in the heart of Madison. But your origin story is fascinating, because before you were an elder, before you were a candidate, you were a traveling evangelical pastor and a stand-up comedian. I mean, you've done all of these crazy things. Most people pick one lane and that's where they go, but you've had these wildly different chapters. So who is the real Dina Nina?
Oh my gosh, it's all of it. You know, I've been told I'm a dabbler, and I am such a dabbler. You know, I was a flight attendant. As I was growing up, I was an evangelical small group pastor and have done a lot of work around that, and then decided that was not working for me anymore. It didn't feel truly aligned to who I was. And then now I'm a woman living her life in the middle of the country. And I am so grateful for the incredible journey that I've been able to be on, because I've experiences that nobody else has gotten to have, you know?
All of these different life experiences. Yeah. I mean, that's what makes you who you are.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So grateful for it.
Yes. Let's lean into the fun stuff.
Yeah.
You founded Lady Laughs Comedy in Madison. You literally built a space for women in comedy. Do you bring, I feel it, so I know what the answer is to this question, but do you bring any of that stand-up energy to the council chamber when you are actually leading in that typically kind of serious role?
Yeah. I do. And I also get really serious, and I'm really passionate about how we engage our community and what the stuff that we're doing. So I'm also have substance, but I'm also charming and funny. That sounded so arrogant.
Clearly. and you have a lot of good insight. Who you are.
Yeah, it's just like, I really believe that when people laugh and when people share like a common human experience of being in space and being both inspired and laughing, that's how we get through this hard, crazy life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's those real moments of being in the presence of each other and feeling joy even against what seems insurmountable.
Yeah. There's a lot of that right now.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot.
Yeah. It feels, yeah, it feels pretty heavy, but also the Republicans are kind of handing us a bunch of good material at times. So we can take that and run with it.
Loads of material, like just endless sets, you know?
Seriously. Yeah. Oh my gosh. All right. We have to talk about what happened with your election in April. Because it's a crazy story. You suspended your campaign, you endorsed your opponent, offered to help him with the transition, and then voters elected you anyway, not by a little, but by 200 votes. What happened?
Well, I mean, so I had some really big life changes coming up at that point in time. And mm-hmm. And after I launched my campaign, I forgot that I was supposed to have a medical procedure that would have taken me off the campaign trail. In a very short campaign cycle, right?
Right?
For at least 2 weeks. And that just didn't feel like something that was the right thing to do. So I suspended my campaign. And I have so many people who were like, we knew you were not running, but we also voted for you because we wanted to vote for you because we're so grateful for you. And, you know, like that says the world, especially from somebody who's not traditionally educated in you know, law or government or somebody who came from comedy. And I think that the way I show up in community and the way I try to engage people just as was something that people wanted. And it, I was very upset about it because I knew that my opponent wouldn't have been automatically seated. And so I pondered over it, you know, looked at the situation and decided that in 2025, when trans people are asked to serve, you serve, you know, and that just the request and the responsibility of making sure that our people are also heard was very poignant and strong for me. So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, and I'm going to quote you because at the time you said, when trans people step up, when trans people show up and get elected, that's a huge statement and it's resistance. But at the time you were also struggling. I mean, you're not living the high life, struggling to find housing, make ends meet, this medical procedure. There was a lot going on in your life. What made you say yes to this job that pays not a lot when you're living through your own affordability crisis and trying to make ends meet?
I mean, that hasn't ceased, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm still struggling and I am only able to run for assembly and only able to serve because of the people in our community who are so kind and gracious to help take care of me during this and believe in that working people and trans people and people who really understand struggle have a seat at the table. Mm-hmm. And that is where every day I find my strength, inspiration, and joy is in community and with the people that not only that I serve, but that serve me, you know? Like, what a beautiful statement that our community said, we still want you to be our representative. And you know, I don't know if it's like inside of me, but I think it's all of it, you know, like part of what's in me, part of everything that I've gone through and the people around me that understand that there's more outside of themselves and outside mm-hmm. of myself, you know, like I'm a collectivist and I'm kind of woo. So like, I just believe, I believe we're so connected to one another and so profoundly responsible for each other. And I think that's what's resonating with people.
I love that you keep coming back to the people. Yeah. The people elected you, even though you weren't going to run and they knew you weren't there, they still voted for you. But, yeah. You know, that is, I think, the romantic idea that many people have about political leaders, that they want to vote for the person that they know and they trust. And they feel like, regardless of whether you feel like you're the right person to stand up for them, they know you are. They have handpicked you. And what an incredible honor that is to be able to serve the people who have literally chosen you.
Especially someone who's lost almost every pageant they've been in, was never chosen first for a picket ball or anything. Like, it's one of those things where I'm just like, I could not, and I'm going to say this a million times, I could not be more grateful to have landed in Madison, to have met the human beings that I've met, and be in relationship with those people. Like, and the people that I keep meeting and building relationships with, you know, I everything I do is built on relationships. I'm like, I don't do anything on my own. I didn't get here on my own. I'm not getting into the assembly on my own. Right. Mm-hmm. And I didn't create all this legislation by myself. I didn't do all this by myself. It's all of us working together and seeing the point of caring for one another and caring for the people of our city, of our district, of our state.
Mm-hmm. Ultimately, that's what it is. It's the together. It's not about the you. Yeah. It's the together.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm so cheesy.
You are cheesy, but you're in Wisconsin, so it's true. Perfect.
Wouldn't be in a better place for it.
But, you know, even in Wisconsin, even in the bluest district in the assembly, there are people progressives who wonder whether running as a proud trans woman in 2026 makes it harder. But I'm going to just guess here and flip it, because I suspect that this could actually be, is actually an advantage for you in this race, in this moment, for these voters.
I think so. And I have a lot of people that say, you're making it all about being trans. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm making it all about being affordable. And, you know, standing up to this authoritarian takeover and the removal of human beings' rights. Because being in the reproductive healthcare space, you understand how intricately tied my right to access care is to your right to access care.
Yes.
And, you know, coming from doing a lot of work with Abortion Access Front, I've seen it on the ground, especially independent clinics, Planned Parenthood. They all also provide gender-affirming care.
Yes.
Right? Our access to care, our right to bodily autonomy is not different. It's the same. And so when your right to access abortion care, when my right to access gender-affirming care is under attack, what else is next? Like,
and it's so funny that the people who want to attack your right to make your decisions about your body are the same people who want no one to take away their guns or to touch. And it is the right. least amount of government possible unless it's your body. And then they want to control it all.
And then when they're asked to take a vaccine that could save other people's lives, they're like, my body, my choice.
Right.
So, I mean, it's like really this disconnect where we have been so comfortable with devaluing the humanity and right for other people that we can have that, what's the word I'm looking for, that cognitive dissonance that, and I just keep trying to remind people, like, I have to say that I'm a human being. And I'm like, we're all just humans trying to figure out life. It doesn't matter. Like, I respect you enough to change your name if you, like, change the way I address you if you choose that, right? You should have at least enough respect for me to at least value my humanity. And I can't articulate this more verbosely than, that may not be the right word, sorry if I'm using that incorrectly. But like,
I got you.
Rights are tied to each other.
Yes.
You know, we're watching a whole swath of human beings be disenfranchised fully from participating in voting, from being able to drive their cars to get where they need to go, from being able to access public accommodations just to take care of their physical needs in Kansas and other places like Texas and Arkansas. And who is next?
Mm-hmm. Which group is next? Yeah.
And I think about like UW Health and how I know there was a lot behind the scenes that I did not see. And there were a lot of conversations and a lot of arguments about ceasing gender affirming care for youth, but they know it's evidence based.
Right.
They know that it's life saving. And it was easy enough for them to say, we will hold this off to protect everybody else. But who's next?
Right. And this is classic politics interfering with medicine, overriding science.
A doctor a politician should not be in my healthcare at all.
Thank
Fund
you.
It, but yes. Stay out.
Right. Yes, 100%. Yeah. So here's the thing, and I don't want to make this all about you being a trans woman, but I do want to uplift that you are not alone. You're groundbreaking, but you are not alone. There is a whole group of elected trans folks here in Wisconsin. Tell me about how you all are working together and supporting each other and blazing new ground in some place. I mean, in Green Bay. Are you kidding me?
Menominee.
Rachel Mays. Yes, talk to me.
So one of the things that I did was initiate a call with all of us, and we finally got a chance to be on a call with the exception of two individuals, but there are six elected officials in the state of Wisconsin now that are gender diverse or transgender. And what a beautiful thing. So we got on a call the other night, talked about how we could support each other. And my friend and county supervisor here in Dane County, Aria Trucius, they wrote a resolution admonishing UW Healthcare for acquiescing to the regime. And I said, are we going to be willing to sign a letter in support of this? And they all said yes. And we are working together to show a united front, but also to support one another, especially for newly electeds. Like, it's overwhelming when you are jumping into something that you may not have done before. It's overwhelming and scary, and it feels like you're drinking from a fire hydrant all the time. And so I believe that community and how we care for one another is vital. Collaboration is vital. And so all the people that you see on my endorsement page, I spent the last 5 years trying to build relationships with them, not because I thought I was going to, run for assembly, but because I want the biggest coalition I can have to be able to accomplish what I need to get done, what we need to get done for our communities, whether I'm elected or not, right? And that's where the future has to be in this collaboration. And so with, a delegation of six trans and non-binary gender diverse people who are elected now, why not take advantage of that momentum and show a united front and support one another so that we can make it easier for those who come next and create that support system for those who come next? That's what I want to see. So I was like, let's do this. Let's get together.
And the beautiful thing about it is not about your gender. It is about the work that needs to get done. And I think people get distracted and they forget that you have lived experience that informs what you are doing for the people that you serve. So I want to lean in a little bit more on housing. We mentioned it earlier. But you are not somebody who is rolling in dough. Your lived experience is that you're struggling to get by like so many Wisconsinites. How do you think that governing from that lived experience makes you the fighter that you are, makes you the best representative for the people compared to somebody who's only ever just read about it in a briefing?
I'm scrappy. I've experienced poverty and homelessness. I've had to be scrappy. And so when people who have lived experience of poverty and struggle and not having, sustainable health care ever, when people like have that experience are at the table, they make decisions that are meaningful toward for those people that experience that. It makes a difference. And I'm not one who acquiesces to privilege, and I stand up wherever I can. And I think with what we're doing with the delegates, the transgender and gender diverse delegates, is we are creating momentum together and incorporating that lived experience collectively to advocate for what all of our community needs. And despite my gender or my identity, I'm working to improve the lives of everyone, even my friends who are Republican, and the people that go onto my page and tell me I shouldn't live, and the people that come on my page and say I'm fat. Yes, all things I've known. Surprising no one, right? But I want their lives to be easier. So hopefully they can find some peace and joy and not come on my page all the time. Hopefully they can feel comfort and be able to take care of their families. And it's scary, and it's so easy to be hateful and mean. And I fall into it sometimes too, but I am here to build a movement of people that are going to stand up for one another. And in the legislature, I will fight like hell for working people, because I believe that we are better together. We're stronger together, and we protect us.
I love that earlier you said, and I can't believe this, and I'm so excited about it, that there are 6 gender diverse or trans folks in elected positions in Wisconsin. And you know, you're blazing that trail, and there are younger people who are looking up to you thinking, I can do this too. But they also have to get through all of their own internal personal stuff. So as somebody who has done that, what would you say to a young trans person in Madison or Hayward or Eau Claire who's watching you and wondering, could I do this too?
And this goes for all children, not even just trans or non-binary or, you know, gender diverse individuals. Dig into yourself, learn about yourself, and care for one another in ways that are profound. Like, yes, you can do it, but we have to all do it together, right? Like, our journey's not going to be linear, and it's not always going to be easy, but hang around.
Yes, and believe in you.
And believe in you. And do the inner work. Like, there are so many cis and, you know, there are so many human beings that aren't willing to do that inner work. And we've got to learn to be better for ourselves first so that we can be better for the community together later.
100%.
Get therapy, you know,
and surround yourself with people who also believe in you and uplift you.
Yeah. Yes. 1,000%.
Yeah. That,
like, just because the biggest places of hope in our history have always been in the face of the biggest hurdles that humanity is facing, right? Mm, and right. I hope that in this we get to find each other and remember who we are as human beings. And I want it to end as quickly as possible so fewer people get hurt, you know, that's what it comes down to. So we have to all stand up and be the hope that we want to see.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I can go into a room and argue with people till I'm blue in the face, but until the people stand up and say, this is what we want. We want healthcare. We want a better wage. We want to be able to organize. We don't want our rights being taken away. We want them preserved. It's the people who have to be part of that movement.
Yes. They have to know what they want, and they have to stand up for it. I think it's both of those things. We can't be afraid. We have to be courageous.
Yeah. And if you're not courageous, have somebody pushing you from behind. It's fun.
It's fun. So when you look at the future, we have a real shot here at maybe even a blue trifecta. I mean, the Senate looks pretty good. The Assembly is looking more and more hopeful as we are seeing these Republicans retiring because they don't want to have to face the voters with what's been happening, what they've turned Wisconsin into. It is really exciting to consider that the midterms are likely going to break in our direction. So in your mind, what does a blue Wisconsin actually look like for Representative Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford?
It looks like getting stuff done for people. Like, it looks like finally having a hope of getting healthcare for everyone, getting a living wage that's tied to inflation so that we don't have to watch our wages stagnate while the rich keep getting richer. Mm-hmm. It looks like fully funding our public schools so that we can fulfill the promise to the children who will be our future and give them hope to change the world around them. And it looks like making sure that we invest in community care and public housing. Like, it looks like giving the people what they need and what they want, which is a better future.
It's a much better future. But we've had Democratic champions who have stood up and asked for Medicaid expansion and getting rid of voucher schools and all of these problems that most Wisconsinites are facing, and they haven't been able to break through. What is different this time? And what are you willing to do as a leader? Because your district is the bluest district in the state. So you have a really beautiful opportunity here. What are you willing to do in the face of these major problems that maybe others haven't been able to in the past?
Well, I'm willing to work with people to get accomplished what needs to be done. If you look at my list of endorsements, I have a broad coalition, people that I don't vote alike at all. People that I disagree with and sometimes agree with, but I'm willing to work with people to make sure we get it accomplished, right? And I'm going to humanize the experience of need and the experience of having my rights taken away for people who have never been able to humanize that experience. So I mean, there's so many things I'm willing to do, and my life is dedicated to trying to make life better for human beings for the rest of my existence. And that's what I intend to do. I'm going to do everything I can to fulfill the promises that I make during this campaign.
You're kind of like an icon.
Blah. I mean, thank you so much.
All right, I have one other question for you.
Yes, I'm single.
I'll add that to the list.
Okay, please.
Okay. All right. You have been a youth pastor. Clearly, you're a comedian. You've worked in food service. You've owned a business. Now you are about to make history in Wisconsin. If you had to do one tight 5 minutes of stand-up about your campaign, what's the bit?
I don't know. I'm still out of comedy shape.
I don't think you are. I think you're in prime comedy shape.
Thanks. I think the bit is less humorous and more connective. Like I think I have different things to say, and those things tend to be like, we care for one another. Wisconsin is a state that cares for each other, right?
Yes, we are.
I see it. We've helped raise barns. We've helped move our neighbors. We chip in when there's a fire. And I believe in a Wisconsin that cares for one another and that where we can afford to live with dignity. And that's not a joke, but everything that the Republican legislature has been doing is a joke. And it's a punch down on the people of Wisconsin. And that's what it's been for the last decade. So, yeah. Not funny, but, you know, we're gonna make great changes because the people of Wisconsin, the people of District 76 deserve to be able to feel like they can have a future.
Mm-hmm. I think we can get rid of the Republican joke that's not funny, and we can bring in some joy and some laughter and do it together as we are creating that progressive, beautiful change that we all know that we need.
Absolutely.
Ah, Dina Nina, you are an absolute delight. Thank you for spending a little time with me.
Thank you for having me. You're an absolute delight, too.
Let's keep doing this. This is fun. Ladies and gentlemen, Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford. Woo!
That's been my time.
If you enjoyed our conversation, please do subscribe, share, and keep following along because we're keeping it real and having a lot of fun.
Oh, see and ya. Go to votedinanina.com.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that because I forgot to ask you.
My team are so mad.
It's all in the show notes.